And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things, flapping their wings.
Statistics,
on
yeah, they can be like bathing suits. What they, you know, what.
Finish it up. Sometimes you gotta take them off.
What the hell?
What they show is revealing, but what they conceal is vital, right? So.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Craney Camp Day 2 on Birds with Friends. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and the reigning, defending winner of the Emperor Penguin Award for Queen of the Season, Marissa Morris, producing. Zach, second day of Craney Camp. What'd you see? What'd you learn? What's the deal? Obi Melafonwu, tell me what's going on.
Well, that's according to ESPN. And
what do you got
sorry,
there?
Sorry about that. That was Jonathan Gannon in the background speaking.
He's at your house?
No.
Jonathan, what a scoop.
The hits principle, right?
Is he coming on to the show?
Jonathan is not.
Get him on.
No. So what did I see? I saw a downfield touchdown pass in 7-on-7s from Jalen Hurts.
And we're getting right into the Quactus report. Here we go.
That is somewhat notable because on Wednesday,
because we
day
didn't know
one,
that long passes were allowed in the NFL.
Yeah, on day one it was mostly red zone. So here they connected deep downfield. It was a touchdown. He beat Steve Nelson. And while that was happening,
we learned today that Steve Nelson wants to go by Steve,
not
Steven.
Thoughts
and
on that?
Also that he's not vaccinated, most likely, almost definitely.
He wore his mask during his media availability. You are required to wear your mask when you're not playing if you are unvaccinated. Either that or he's particularly attentive and wears his mask outside, but not attentive. But I will probably agree with you, although we did not ask him, so.
Yeah, maybe a bad job by us.
But back to practice, though. I was going to say, what else stood out? I would really like to hear your thoughts on the one-on-ones that were occurring while the practice was going on. Oh, I'm sorry, while the
we're getting right into that?
This
is on me. Bad job hosting. I didn't even have anything to write
today. I feel like
today,
we should start over just, here. You threw me off when you asked about Obi Melafonwu. To begin the practice,
I don't know. It's a leap for what a favor to an agent for Adam Schefter to tweet. Eagles have agreed to terms with former Raiders second round pick Obi Melafonwu. Obi Melafonwu was a tryout player for the Eagles in the spring, so that's the kind of level of player we're talking about here. So let's not start ringing the bell for a championship coming.
So let's
a big
reset
scoop for
here.
Schefter, nonetheless.
So let's reset.
Who likes
here.
To down? He downplayed our story, so I'll downplay his big scoop.
There's no need to downplay Adam Schefter. Let's reset. What I was going to say is a big takeaway at practice today was Brandon Brooks left practice midway through, was evaluated for a hamstring injury. The Eagles are saying the evaluation is precautionary. He went inside to the locker room, did not return to practice. But, of course, this is something to monitor because Brandon Brooks is one of the most important players on the Eagles. That said, I am not a doctor, but Brandon Brooks walked off on his own power. This is not.
It didn't seem like he was really like favoring yes. either side or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I will take them at their word at the moment that this was precautionary because he certainly he's worn his injury on his face in the past. Like you've known when it's a serious one, and this did not appear to be a serious one. Then again, I am not a doctor, but because of his importance, we will monitor that one going forward.
Okay. How about, why don't we do this? Why don't we have a new little format here on the fly where we go back and forth, like you talk about a thing that you learned today.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Sure. So I just want
to
Brooks, you're
something up. Interesting. It doesn't have to yes. be a thing you learned, but something that you'd like to talk about.
Yes.
I will talk about, I guess I'll talk about Johnny Gannon, who spoke after practice today. You know, I don't want to be, I don't want to be seduced by a good press conference, but I continue to be...
seduced by a good press conference.
Yeah, like I think he knows what he's doing. And we have seen a lot of different looks on defense over just the first 2 days of practice. We have seen, you know, like players swapping in and out of different first and second teams. We've seen guys moving positions. You know, Milton Williams playing end and tackle. We've seen some three down linemen at certain points. We've seen those, you know, those stand up pass rushers at the Sam position. And Gannon was talking about, you know, how the Rams defense last year was, I don't want to say multiple, but like, you know, had a bunch of different things that they could do. They did more schematically than any other defense in the league, and it worked well. They were the number one defense. Now, they had Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. The Eagles have Fletcher Cox and Darius Slay, which is maybe not quite as good. But the way that he was talking about things, you know, we always want guys to say that, like, you are we don't want them to say this, but we always want the ideal coach, right, is not putting players into a scheme. He's molding the scheme around what the players can do. And the way that he talked about guys, like I asked him about, you know, philosophically, when you have guys who can play multiple positions, do you want to throw them into the mix, playing multiple positions from the beginning and they're learning as they go? Or do you want them to become an expert in one thing and then move on to learn the next thing? Because with Jeff Stoutland, we have seen over the past few years that he wants somebody to master a position before he starts cross-training at either guard or tackle or like from right to left.
And you got
right
good
left,
question
right?
out of that. And you got good question.
Well, I mean, he said that a few times. I feel like you don't really want to, you don't want to oversell the good question. Sometimes you say good question just to buy some time so that you can get your thoughts together.
No, but I think he said it at the end.
He did, actually.
Yeah. So because he was reflecting on the answer and saying, oh, that was a good question.
Well, and I like what he said because he said it's not, you know, it's not one size fits all. It's depending on the position. It's depending on the guy, and they will evaluate as they go whether it looks like it's too much for a guy. Like if a guy is having mental busts at you know, a certain position, they'll slow things down. And of course, like that's what you should say. But I don't know. I believed him. Like I believe that that is the way that he approaches things. And so, you know, we've seen Milton Williams playing two positions. We've seen some of these cornerbacks moving in and out. I don't know. I feel like there's an adult in the room who knows what he's doing with Jonathan Gannon. I think it's going to be an interesting year, a good year for Fran Duffy to be breaking down this Eagles defense.
It's interesting you say the adult in the room because I'm sure it wasn't implied by you, but it almost sounds like a juxtaposition to Jim Schwartz, right? And Jonathan Gannon's I'm 38. Jim Schwartz,
I mean, Jim's an adult.
Yes,
but like Jim was doing things his way.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
I don't know. The proof will be in the pudding, as they say. Sure. But I think this defense could be pretty interesting.
I agree, and I do think they have some interesting pieces as well. You know, the first day of practice was very clear that the defense was ahead of the offense. I didn't interpret that in such a way that, like, You know, you often hear, well, at the beginning of camp, the defense is ahead of the offense. I interpreted it like the offense was not good on the first day. I thought the offense.
Well, we learned today that they declare a winner every day, and the defense did indeed win.
Yes, and I thought the offense was better today. We'll get to that. But Jonathan Gannon, to your point, yes, I was impressed by the press conference. I'm impressed by what he's doing on defense. It certainly seems like even with the moving parts, it's a group that's not making mistakes, right? Like, we're not seeing blown coverages. We're not seeing, we're not seeing them really jump off sides.
Happened on that long touchdown to Devontae? Because I was not watching.
Well, first off, that was 7-on-7. Right. And Devontae just beat Steve Nelson, number one.
Okay.
And I think Kayvon Wallace was the safety.
You got all sorts of noises going on. Gannon is blowing you up. He's saying, "Let me out of the closet. Let me out of here."
No, that is not Gannon. That is something else Eagles
Zach,
related.
Let me out. Something else Eagles related. Is it Jeffrey?
No, it is. It's not. It is not. It is not Jeffrey. So as I was saying. I was not saying about Jonathan Gannon. I was saying about that play with the Devontae Smith touchdown. He beat Steve Nelson. Kayvon Wallace also in coverage. But this was one of these like 7-on-7 passing drills type plays where the wide receiver won and Jalen Hurts put up a good ball. And that will transition to what I was going to say in terms of what I learned today. Jalen Hurts did not have a good first day, I thought. And he did not have a good start to the second day, but he did get better as practice progressed. I try not, and I wrote this in my practice report, so I'm using a little bit of a, you know, I'm stealing my line, if you will. But
listen,
you know,
you have to. this is a lesson I learned from Shiel. Sometimes you got to reuse stuff on different platforms. Like,
sure.
You know, you can't expect that everybody's reading and listening to every single thing you do.
So I understand what our job is, and that like we're the eyes and ears of the fans when we're at practice. But you know, dissecting every throw in July is akin to, you know, if people were reading my raw copy, right, and like seeing a typo there, you know, the practice is a chance to refine things, and but it stands out to me when the ball hits the ground too often, because practices are controlled environments where like passes should at least be completed, and if they're not completed, it should be because like the defense broke it up, not just because the quarterback just completely missed. And I think too often Hurts missed guys on day one and the beginning of today. You know, for instance, I'm thinking of the individual drills, the passing drills before team drills started, and he just missed Dallas Goedert, right? Like, it was I don't think it was a miscommunication. I just think it was a poor pass. But I thought as practice went on, Hurts improved, was hitting his targets more. So a better day two from Jalen Hurts, but wasn't a good day one.
Okay.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'll go along the lines, and you know, I don't want to totally overreact to two snaps, and be such a prisoner of the moment, but that's what the podcast is. And they were O-line, D-line one-on-ones today. And it was, you know, they're in shorts and shells. They're not in pads. You know, one-on-ones are stacked in the defense's favor to begin with. But I feel like I've seen enough of Andre Dillard after 2 days of practice. He was toasted by Josh Sweat first around the edge, and then he's forced to like wrap his arm around Josh Sweat's neck for like a very obvious hold and like borderline like personal foul penalty. And then on his next rep, he goes against Derek Barnett, and Barnett like very easily gets him to bite outside and then spins right past him on the inside. And it's just, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens when he gets the pads on. But so much for this being like a new and improved Andre Dillard. To me, this was sort of more of the same. Mailata looked better, and Mailata did, you know, true to the competition, he was the first team left tackle today. So I think they will continue to rotate. But Mailata's better. That's all there is to it, as far as I'm concerned.
I will address that, but I will update news as this happens here. The Eagles did sign Obi Melifonwu, and they
wait! Don't tell me. Oh no! Oh wait! Did they say who they released?
No, but they made another signing as well.
Oh, is it somebody else who has already been in the building at some point?
No, but someone who has worked. A wide receiver.
Okay. Ooh, someone who has worked. Is it a former Colt?
No.
Is it a former Viking?
No.
Is it an Aaron Moorhead connection?
No.
Okay. Is it a former early round pick?
No.
Okay. Is it... who has worked? Where were you? Where could you have been going with?
I don't think you're going to get this, and I'm not sure this is great.
Is it
listening?
Is it an older player or a younger player?
He's 27.
Ooh, interesting. Tell me who you were going to say who has worked with.
Shane Steichen.
Oh, Shane Steichen. Is it Dontrell Inman?
No.
Is it?
He's from Delaware. He went to Rutgers.
Ooh.
Well, he was born in Delaware.
What are his initials?
His initials are AP.
I don't know.
His name's Andre Patton.
Yeah, you're right. I wasn't gonna get it.
Andre Patton, who
Pat.
who was with the Chargers from 2017 to 2019, had six catches with the Chargers in 2019. So the Eagles signed those two, and they have not yet announced who the other moves are. I will get to the bottom of that. We will update that.
Presumably you know by the time you listen to this.
But yes.
I'm curious who 89 and 90 are on the roster. They are heavy at tight end, so they could release Caleb Wilson or Jason Kroom, or Hakeem Butler, I suppose. They are heavy at running back. They could release Elijah Holyfield. They're light at wide receiver right now, obviously.
Yes.
We can get to the other injuries, but that makes sense that they need to bring in a receiver. I mean, we've seen enough Jamon Osbon for like an entire offseason. He's been all over the place.
He has the summer last of Jamon.
He's getting more reps than anybody. He must be exhausted.
Yes.
They could really, and they've got a lot of corners now that Nelson. It's too bad because I was planning a game for tomorrow that I was excited about, but I don't want to give it away because I don't want you to study.
Gotcha. All right. So back to what you were saying about the offensive line. Yeah. I mean, Jordan Mailata, based on what we've seen on the field so far, before training camp even started, you would say that he needs to be the front runner, right? Like, he's played left tackle at a starting caliber level. And I would say with the flashes of even higher, which is more than Andre Dillard has done. I don't think Andre Dillard's performance in 2019 at left tackle was at the level of Jordan Mailata's last season. That said, you know, this was supposed to be a different Andre Dillard, and he does have that first round pick pedigree. But based on what you explained from the one-on-ones, based on the 11-on-11s today, like Dillard did not play well enough in the 11-on-11s. Mm. And I recognize that.
It's over.
I try to acknowledge that, like, the Eagles are doing ones versus ones, right? So this is not the type of thing where like they're the backups are going against the top guys. Andre Dillard's going against Josh Sweat, going against Derek Barnett, good pass rushers.
Well,
yeah,
so
but
Joe
I'm
Mahata.
Saying, but my point is that if he's starting, these are the types of guys he's going to see every week, right? Like that's
exactly.
That's not an excuse. Well, he's going against good players because he would start against good players. So it's not, you know, it's a long summer. I get that. We are breaking this down day by day on the Craning Camp reports, but Jordan will certainly have the edge to date. When I say to date, after 2 days.
Mm. Okay, over to you. Your turn.
Over to me. Okay, so I will say that, look, it was one play, but Miles Sanders during the 7-on-7s had a smooth catch along the left sideline, and he caught it in stride. And this is important because Sanders' production, it declined in the passing game last year. We discussed it quite a bit. He went from 50 catches and a 79.3% catch rate in 19 to 28 catches and a 53.8% catch rate in 2020. So, like, it was alarming. And perhaps it was the chemistry with Carson Wentz. Perhaps it was just, like, how bad the screen game was all around. But if Miles Sanders is going to be a three-down back, like the Eagles have talked him up to be, he needs to be the 2019 version in the passing game. So I'm curious to see how much of a role he has in the passing game this year. If the Eagles have a designated pass-catching back like a Kenny Gainwell. But Sanders has been billed to be that type of player in the past. And I thought today he looked natural catching the ball.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it's a real, you know, the Eagles need him to be more like he was as a rookie than he was last season for sure. I will give you my leftover notes from one-on-ones. Javon Hargrave looked really good to me. And he beat Jason Kelce on a rep, and Kelce was you know, frustrated afterwards with himself, and then you know, sort of acknowledged that Hargrave beat him, gave him a nice little hand slap. That doesn't happen often, and I think there's a real chance that Hargrave could take a, you know, be more the player he was for the full season and the second half of last season rather than the first half of last season, and that would be big for the defense. I thought Teron Jackson had a couple good reps. I thought Sua, of course, had a couple good reps. And I got to say, a guy that I've sort of overlooked, Luke Chiriga looked pretty good to me today. So I got my eye on Chiriga. He's in the mix. He's in
How
the
are
mix
those arms?
To be potentially.
How are those arms?
Yeah, well, tiny as always. Yeah, obviously, yes, he would like to borrow. He would like to borrow some inches from Michael Jacquet's arms, but. Chiriga, early contender to potentially get himself in the mix for the official Beowulf crush of Craney Camp. Of course, some of the greats going back to Elijah Riley, Sua Opeta, DeAndre Carter.
The greats, right?
Yeah, those guys all outperformed what you would have expected.
Did Elijah Riley really outperform what we expected last year?
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to make the team or the practice squad last year.
I mean,
he got like no guaranteed money.
Okay, all right. So
he's running with the twos right now.
So interesting here. An observation. Trying to be the eyes and the ears of the fans at the end of practice. Zach Ertz and Howie Roseman for the second straight day chatting.
Interesting.
Don't know the contents of the chat, but the two of them behind, you know, talking one-on-one, and credit to my former teammate at the Star Ledger, now a TV and Cameo star, Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network. Mike had a report out that I saw as I was walking to the car that I didn't notice, and I need to become a better reporter to notice this because it was right in front of us. Zach Ertz's shorts were turned inside out, okay? So we are making, I mean, we discussed the platinum blonde hair yesterday, but it's actually the shorts that Mike said was a statement that the Eagles logo is on the shorts, and he turned that inside out so the Eagles logo wouldn't be visible. Now, whether that was by design or if he just likes wearing his shorts inside out, but my guess, well, I think Mike, knowing how outstanding of a reporter Mike is, and I mean that, like, he is outstanding. I would imagine he put that out there with, you know, with some juice behind it. So
you think he ran that by
someone else. It's just like, it's a very specific thing to put out there on television. So I imagine it was something that he was either tipped off on or checked on. So yeah, the inside out shorts, but. 2 days in a row now where Ertz and Roseman are talking after practice. And another former colleague of mine, Jeff McClain at the Philadelphia Inquirer, had a story. He wrote about Zach Ertz, and he speculated, or I will change my verbs, but he wrote that perhaps Ertz is on the roster because Goddard can be a chip in a Deshaun Watson trade. So once again, we don't need to go down the Deshaun Watson discussion, but you know, the implication there was that if the Eagles
do you make think a trade, do you think that's only under the presumption that the Texans would be interested in Goddard because his name is God?
I don't think it's under that presumption. No,
you think he carries extra weight? I think he does probably.
but clearly, you know, Dallas Goddard is an emerging player. He is in a contract year. If the Eagles are trading players in addition to picks in any trade, whether it's for Deshaun Watson or for somebody else, if you're looking at players on the roster who would be of intrigue to another team, I mean, Goddard would probably be high on such a list. Now I've assumed that the Eagles want Dallas Goedert as part of their future long-term, considering they've done so much to accommodate him over the past few years, including not engaging in serious contract negotiations with one of the great players in recent franchise history because of their confidence in Goedert. But nonetheless, that is something to monitor as well, because having worked with Jeff, I don't think he puts things out there either, unless there's something behind it.
Well, I'll use mine on another Jeff McClain thing. His story today that Jalen Reagor failed his physical, and so did Dallas Goedert. Goedert failed it because he didn't understand the drill and did it incorrectly. Otherwise, he would have passed it. But Reagor failed his physical and got hurt subsequently because of it, and is also dealing with the recent death of a good childhood friend. So I haven't credit to Jeff for doing that reporting. I haven't done that, but it's probably not the way that the Eagles wanted Jalen Reagor's second season to start.
No, and speaking of that, we are far enough along in the podcast here, we should give an injury update, a status update. I mentioned Brandon Brooks leaving practice, but in terms of who was out there, who was not out there, limited at practice, Jalen Reagor, it's termed lower body tightness. He participated in individual drills, did not participate in team drills. Greg Ward, non-COVID illness, also participated in individual drills, did not participate in team drills. Day-to-day, Travis Fulgham, lower body.
That's why they got to sign a wide receiver. Yeah.
Is it Shaquille Taylor?
I thought that would make more sense. I thought it was Shaquille. That's probably wrong.
I need to check the pronunciation guide. Lower body. Quez Watkins, non-COVID illness. And then
after yesterday was still completing the physical.
Still completing the physical, yes.
Something else has happened.
So has an illness that is not related to COVID. And then Nate, is it Meters? Meadors? Meadors?
Meadors.
Yes, I should look that up. I'm better typing it than I am Meadors. Saying it. And then Isaac Seumalo, I know how to say that, has a hamstring injury. Both of them hamstring injuries. So a hamstring is the injury of the summer so far, now that Brandon Brooks adds to the hamstring list.
Shaquille.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hit that.
Yeah. Good job. Shaquille Taylor. Okay. I don't know that I have much else from practice. There was a baby praying mantis that was all over the place during the post-practice press conferences. That was interesting.
Yeah. I noticed that people noticed it. I did not see it during the practice itself. I'm sorry, during the press conferences themselves, but I did see pictures afterwards. I will say
it was a relatively light practice today.
Yes. Jason Huntley.
That was going to be my other thing.
Yeah, he at 11:29 a.m. I have that on my timestamp here. Burst through the middle of the line.
Yeah, it's got some juice.
Yeah, and so I don't know if he's going to make the team, but if the Eagles want to go with speed for that fourth running back spot, or I even saw our friend Jimmy Kemsky in his 53-man roster projection pre-training camp had Huntley as a fifth running back. It would surprise me if they carried five, although Nick Sirianni spoke about their 21 speed package, which would be two backs on the field, of course, one tight end. And
overrated as far as I'm concerned.
And if such a package occurs, I would imagine Gainwell would be the second back, but I don't think you're going with a 21 speed package with Jordan Howard, for instance, right?
Jordan Howard and speed have never really gone together.
So I have assumed that it was Howard or Kerryon Johnson for that fourth running back spot. But look, the Eagles carried Jason Huntley on the team all year last year, even though they really did not have a role for him.
You just attacked Jason Huntley during the Ospreys. I mean, you basically called him just a pet.
No, not at all. It's just like, they had other, they burned a roster spot.
We were getting hate mail from the Huntley family.
I have no issue with Jason Huntley. It is interesting. Interesting. I say interesting, and I someone commented, a listener
don't read
sent
the comments.
Me something. No, it was a direct message about it.
Would you mind? Oh, no, go ahead.
Would I mind? So as I assess that, I forgot my train of thought here.
Somebody sent you something about interesting?
No, before that. What was that?
Oh, before that. Jason Huntley.
Yes.
They could keep.
I know what I'm saying. A lot of these guys who were here on the team last year, who we've discussed, who we've written about,
right,
who we've spoken to virtually, we've never actually met in person, right? So
right.
like Darius Slay, who has been a part of our lives, for lack of a better term, since last March, right? Who we've exhausted a lot of time,
for good or worse,
thinking about and writing about and talking about. Today was the first time that I introduced myself to him in person, right? And the same thing, Javon Hargrave is another example. Jalen Hurts yesterday. Now So these are people that we're seeing face to face for the first time, which is obviously the byproduct of what occurred last year and is a fundamental difference this year. But Jason Huntley, I've never met Jason Huntley in person, and typically a guy who was on the team all year last year.
And yet you just threw him in the garbage during the Oscars.
I think that is hyperbole, Bo.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I was wondering if you would mind telling the story that you told me during practice about your brother Alex learning of his Ospreys award.
Yeah, so my cousin Lee, who is a loyal
shout out
listener,
to Lee.
Is a loyal listener of the show, I think, called Alex and congratulated him on winning the award. And Alex was not quite sure what that meant. And then other people also congratulated Alex, and then he was accepting the congratulations, and he hadn't listened through yet. So, but my guess is this, relative to those who are confused by what happened during the Ospreys, I think Alex is very low on that list. I would imagine, I would imagine like Eric Diefendorf and Jordan Norwood are higher on the list than Alex's.
Okay, fair enough. I actually do have a couple of things that we hadn't talked about yet.
Yes.
We talked about we're going to see what the the competition is going to be like at these different positions, the emphasis on competition. And there were some depth chart changes today in comparison to yesterday, especially on defense. There were four changes on defense, and there was one that was really interesting to me. So Barnett was over Sweat today, mm-hmm. As opposed to yesterday. Joe Ostman was taking the first team Sam reps instead of Jannard Avery. Marcus Epps was taking the first team safety reps next to Anthony Harris with Rodney McLeod out instead of Kayvon Wallace. Now, later in practice, Wallace worked in too, so that was not a straight swap. But the one that was really interesting was TJ Edwards was working as the first team linebacker next to Davion Taylor.
Yes.
So Davion Taylor stayed, was not rotating, and TJ Edwards was in for Eric Wilson, and Eric Wilson was working with the twos. And it's surprising to me, like, Eric Wilson's going to win that job.
I didn't even think it was a competition.
I would have thought that he was above that, right? Like,
yes.
Like, Anthony Harris isn't switching. And, like, Eric Wilson signed a real deal.
That really surprised me.
Maybe it's
me.
Just, like, let's take a look at TJ Edwards with the ones. And you will see, like, coaches will do that, where they will, you know, you'll throw in the number two linebackers with the first team defense, just because who knows when they'll get in there. And at every position group, you might see that. But it was interesting because it was still with Davion Taylor, right? So it wasn't like the twos were up with the ones and the ones were down with the twos. It was like a straight swap of Edwards for Wilson. It may not amount to anything, but it was a little bit curious to me.
Yeah. So, a little behind the scenes here, right? So they did not do like only team drills on one field. They had the ones going on one field, the two is going on another field. So I am on the field where Jalen Hurts and the passing drills were during individuals, and I look up from my notes and I see Eric Wilson, you know, leading the huddle on defense, and so I'm assuming this is where the ones are. And then all of a sudden, there's like no other first team guys there. I'm like, what's going on here? And then, so Eric Wilson with the second team defense. Don't know why. Should have probably pursued more of an explanation. I know they're mixing and matching, if you will, but I don't believe there's a competition there. But you are right. Davion Taylor getting work with the ones 2 days in a row. I actually think he's
getting a press conference today.
Yeah, because I know there was a demand from reporters to speak with him, and I think he's looked fine out there. Like I don't think he's been.
Yeah, I mean it's impossible to.
Yeah, say. But like he's, you know, he has some juice, right? Like he can run. We know that, and so curious to see. You know, maybe he's the weak side linebacker this year. I'm doubting it. I'm still thinking,
you know,
he's a special teams guy.
Like, you know, he was talking openly about how like he needs to improve his eyes, right? See a lot, see a little, as they say. And that's like, you know, that seems like a difficult thing to do.
Yes, it is. But like that's fundamental to the job, right? If you're a linebacker, your eyes are important.
I would say so.
Yes.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, we got anything else?
I mean, we can go on. You know, I have a lot in my notes here. Let me ask you a question here. Not in terms of, so who's the guy this year who, as you're writing your notes, you put down his number and you associate it with a player who's no longer here, and you're confused by what just occurred. If that description makes sense,
it does.
Okay.
Thirty-one is weird to me.
You're really into Nickell Robey-Coleman, huh?
But wasn't it Mills before? Before he changed last year?
He was 21 last 21, year. Yeah, but before, sorry. Mills last year was
no 21. Last year. I'm talking about 2 years ago.
Yes, he used to be 31.
He used to be 31, right?
Because it's 31 still, teams passed on him.
I still think of him as 31,
even after a year of 21.
Yes.
Okay.
Last year means nothing in my memory. Last year may as well have not existed.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And that is Craig James this year.
Yes.
There are other ones that I can't think of right now. Who is it for you?
Well, no. So just today, I wrote down, 47 catches a pass across the middle. And then I'm like, wait, why is Nate Gary catching a pass across the middle? And I mean, 47
Jack,
is
my boy Jack Stoll.
It's a white guy from Nebraska, so yeah, maybe that's
that's
like,
true. That's a good point.
That's the honorary white guy from Nebraska number now is 47. But for a brief second I was confused as to why Nate Gary was catching a pass across the middle, and then of course it's Jack Stoll.
There you go. Good work by Jack Stoll.
And by the way, this is not like it still is a double take for me seeing a 27 on the field, because for
is for sure
X amount of years, like, that was Malcolm Jenkins, and then last year there was no Malcolm. I mean, there was no 27. Zach McPherson is 27 this year, but Malcolm had like a certain look to him, right? And McPherson is, so it's like, wait, Malcolm looks different, and then you realize it's,
yeah, not that's Malcolm. That's the right answer.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. All right. How's life going? How's the family adjusting to it being training camp now?
They're good.
See a little bit less of Papa.
No, I mean, I've taken them to school the past 2 days, and there's a pep in the step for me. They know that, and we have these.
Has gotten into Dad?
Well, so in the past we have, permanent credentials, and this year they're daily credentials, and so I gave my son today my daily credential.
Nice.
Yeah, he was pumped about that. So it doesn't do him any good, but he was pumped for the daily credential today. And no, the family's doing well. I appreciate you asking. How are things on your end?
Yeah, they're okay.
Okay.
Casey's going through a little doesn't like going getting dropped off at daycare phase, which is we're trying to work our way through it.
Understood. A quick question for you from, I have not, for full disclosure, I have not read your defense notes yet.
Wow. The play. I mean, it's been up for a whole day.
Oh, I was working late last night. I have not read that yet. Eager to read that, but I look forward.
You can't say that you're eager to read it if it's been up for 24 hours and you haven't read it yet. You can't be that eager.
Yeah, no, I was working all day yesterday.
I know, but just then, knowing you, like, if for you, there's a will, there's a way if you want to read something. So,
yeah, but
you can say you're going to read it. You're sort of obligated to read it, but eager is maybe a bridge too far.
No, in my defense, Bo, that is not the type of story that, like, you can just skim through for 5 minutes when you're when you are in the parking lot at the facility. Like, that's something you need to reserve a half hour for, right? You know, that's a meaty story that I look forward to annually. Actually, our loyal listeners will remember it was actually before I joined Birds with Friends, or it was my first summer with Birds with Friends, but you and Sheil had not yet fully accepted me into the Birds with Friends family. You were still doing one-on-one pod, or you were still doing pods, the two of you, and you did a pod with him where you threw up mid-pod because you pulled up an all-nighter doing the information on all these guys, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So
was back when I did all 90 instead of breaking it up into two and really extending the pain.
Anyway, so I was going to ask you, what are two nuggets from those stories that if our listeners have not read them yet, we'll compel them to read it?
Here's a question for you, Zach.
Yes.
Where do you, how high up in your mind do you think Fletcher Cox ranks in the list of greatest Eagles of all time?
Ooh, I would say probably between 11 and 16. I don't think he's top 10.
I think there's a case to be made that he's like back end of the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good tease right there.
So here's I did this like very rudimentary thing, right? I just added together Pro Bowls and All Pros. Okay, so you get a 2-point bonus basically if you did both in one season. And then I went back and, you know, Van Buren and Wistert get credit for ones before Pro Bowls existed. And Fletcher Cox adds up to 7, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, tied for 8th in franchise history with Jason Kelce and Mike Quick. So he's ahead of McNabb, which, like, McNabb's a better player. But the guys below him, you know, Bob Brown, Keith Jackson, Pete Retzlaff, Troy Vincent, Eric Allen, Bill Berge, are those guys ahead of Fletcher Cox? I don't think so.
Well, who's your... I'm trying to think here. I mean...
Maybe this is the question for you. Is the question for you. Who's the best Eagle, like, of this era? When we look back on it, who is the best Eagle of the 2010s?
Jason Peters.
I think that's probably right. And
But they didn't win a Super Bowl with Jason Peters, right?
Right. So, like, and then is Kelce ahead of Cox? Like,
that's a great question. I don't know. Yeah, it's one of those.
Like, Cox was a more impactful player at his best, but Kelce is so much more, like, Mr. Eagle.
Yeah, that is probably true. But I mean, Fletcher Cox is the. I've used this term now in two press conferences, the defensive centerpiece, right? Like, he's been the builder. I vividly remember Howie Roseman after the 2016 season going into 2016. So before the year, it was Doug Peterson's first year, and he talks about how they have two building blocks who were 25 and under, Carson Wentz and Fletcher Cox. Like that in his eyes was – they have this foundation because of Carson Wentz and Fletcher Cox.
25 and under?
At the time, yeah.
Okay.
So that was his they thought about him in that context. They gave him the $100 million contract. When they hired Jim Schwartz, I mentioned this, like, they viewed that as building around Fletcher Cox. They talked about what he's done or what defensive tackles had done in Jim Schwartz's scheme, and that he was going to do what Ndamukong Suh did and what Albert Haynesworth did, and you go on down the list. Marcel Darius before Cox came in, and Cox has been, he's been really good. He took a little bit of a step back last year, but no, that's a very good question. We talked about it on the pod yesterday. It's a very good question. But by the way, Jonathan Gannon today, because I asked a version of the question. You know, Fletcher Cox said, "All I know is that
this was a little interesting.
All I know is that I'm the three technique, right?" And I asked, "Is he just gonna be the three technique for you?" And Gannon said, "No, they're gonna move him all around. You have to with a player like that." So curious to see what Fletcher's reaction is to say.
We'll see how much that that plays out.
Yeah.
But okay. I think there are a couple Easter eggs in there just for you. So that'll be good. All right. You good? You feel like we can wrap this bad boy up? I think we're getting Sheil tomorrow.
Are we? That's great. That's great. I look forward to that.
Don't be too excited.
Should we jump on video?
You know what we should do? We haven't even mentioned on the pod his playbook, which is, I mean, I imagine that anybody listening to Birds with Friends is aware, but Shield did some work.
Yes.
That you should check out.
And that's the type of thing where bookmark it, save it. You know, growing up, I used to digest.
Would you say you're eager to read it?
Yes, I am eager. Well, I've already started reading it, honestly. Mm. But that came out before.
Well, maybe that's why I couldn't read
it. That came out before training camp. But I would digest the magazines, the football preview magazines, right? Like I would spend the month of August just reading on every college football team, every NFL team. I actually once wrote a story for the Washington Post on, I don't want to say like the death of the preview magazine, but like the decline of the preview magazine. But that was such a fixture in my childhood. And I recognize they're still out there, but the internet has, of course, changed things a bit, right? Or have changed things quite a bit. But this in many ways is like the magazine that you would read on every single team, and it'll get you ready for the season. So definitely recommend that.
Well said. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. We'll see you tomorrow. Cranny Camp continues. Daily pods continue. Thanks for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, download, delete, leave a review, all that good stuff. And go back, tell your friends about the Ospreys. Read Zach's story on Nick Sirianni. Read Shield's playbook. And, you know, stay tuned for some other good stuff. That's all I got. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. And as always, we love you.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.